Welcome to the Consciousness Anywhere and Everywhere podcast. I am Shannon O'Hara, and I invite you to a completely new world of possibilities. Hey, 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 it's Shannon here, you guys. And today I am joined by me, myself, and I. I'm doing a rare podcast on my own. Just felt like appropriate. And today I would love to dive into the question of creation and our lives in the big scope. This is a sort of a halfway check-in for 2019. If you have listened to Creating 2019, which was the first podcast that I released at the beginning of the year, first podcast of 2019, this is a follow-up to that conversation. If you haven't listened to it yet, you might want to go back and listen to that one first before you take this one in. So now we're sort of halfway mark for 2019. And this conversation and the first podcast on Creating 2019 is absolutely not specific to 2019. It just happens to be 2019. And this is more a conversation of creation. So whenever you're listening to these, whenever you get a chance to, there's no time like the present to create. And I have been having some really interesting experiences with people in my life not knowing what they want to choose, what they want their life to be in the future. And this is a real big phenomenon on the planet where people tend to stumble along day by day, not looking into the future, not asking themselves what they truly desire their lives to be like today, tomorrow, 5 years, 10 years, 25 years down the line. And when you do have that self-insight, that willingness to acknowledge what's true for you, what you desire, it's incredible how the universe will conspire to make that so. So creation is actually easy. It's the getting to the clarity of what you truly desire to create that seems to be the big problem. And I was not exempt from that lack of clarity personally. I started like everybody else. You know, it was sort of just like, I mean, to be honest, I was avoiding my life. I was trying to figure out how to get out of having to be alive. And that, you know, I wanted to die a lot in my teens and in my 20s. There was that energy of, you know, I got to get out of here. And what ended up winning out for me was the joy of living. And that is largely due to the powerful tools of access and, of course, my own choice. I knew that if I didn't get conscious now, I probably would have to eventually sometime anyways. So I thought, okay, you know what? Even though I might not like my life right now and I might not like life on this planet, I knew somewhere that something else was possible. So if you're listening to this right now and you've known that something else was possible, even though you didn't necessarily have proof of it or you didn't necessarily even understand it, but there was this sense of there must be something else possible. There's got to be something else possible. What else is possible? Is this really all that there is? And so if you have that question in your world of, is there something else that's possible or is this all there really is? Chances are you actually do know there's something else possible that you might not see a lot of other people choosing. And this leads me to sort of the first big creative question of this conversation, which is if creating your life meant that you were the only one that would be creating that way, you would might be the only one seeing what was possible, and you might be the only one capable of receiving that possibility, would you choose it? How much of what's possible for you do you not choose because other people don't see it, don't believe it, and it isn't possible for them? What gifts do you have that others don't? And this is the super interesting thing about creating our lives on this planet, since we tend to, most people tend to want to fit in. And I was that as well. I remember going through several years of getting, you know, unstuck from really deep limitations, most of which were rooted in my desire to fit, to be normal, to be like others, to have a place to call home. And when I was willing to not fit and be okay with not fitting and be okay with being different, that's when the true magic began to emerge. Because it's just, you know, not popular to be unlimited and have total choice and to have everything be ease, joy, and glory. That's not a prevailing way of functioning on the planet. So right now, if you're listening to this, chances are you're interested in something different. If you found my podcast, you're already different. Do you ever acknowledge your difference? Or do you like resist your difference because you want to be normal or fit in? Do you see being different as a gift, or do you see being different as a curse? So everywhere that you might see being different as the curse that you must always keep secret, will you destroy and create all that, please? Right, wrong, good, battle, nine, pud, puck, shorts, boys, and beyonds. And the funny thing about being different is this, is that when you're different, most people don't even notice because they're so unconscious, they can't see 2 inches in front of their own faces. So you're like hiding all that you are in fear that people are going to judge you, ridicule you, excommunicate you, when in truth, mostly they're not paying attention to you. And what's so cool now in this day and age is we're at a time on the planet and in the societies and the cultures that we know now that things like witchcraft, which were, you know, punishable by death for 1,000 years, is now totally fair game, totally legal, and totally available for all of us. Meaning, like, you know, most people don't even believe in witchcraft, but then also, there it is not something that's punishable by death anymore, at least for the most part in the majority of the cultures on the planet. Meaning you can have magic in your life. You can have things show up as if by magic. You can heal with your hands. You can transform energy with your being. You can receive from dynamic beings of light, etc., etc., etc. And for the most part, people might judge you and think you're weird and kind of want to get away from you, but no one's going to come after you and persecute you and put you on trial. In fact, you can become wildly rich, successful, famous, and powerful through the willingness to have so many of the things that make so many of us different. And so when you're looking at creating your life, you really need to look at whose life are you creating? Are you creating your life, or have you been trying to create somebody else's life? Somebody else's version of what life should look like and feel like and be like. So all of the definitions, the conclusions, the pictures, the ideas, the definitions of what you think life should look like, be like, and feel like based on other people's points of view and judgments, will you destroy and uncreate all of those? Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, puck, shorts, boys, and beyonds. And if you were creating your life, what would that be? And if you are not somebody that's had a lot of clarity about what you want to choose and what you want to create in your life, this is your golden ticket question. If I was creating my life, what would that be? Be, not look like. You want to be careful of the look like thing. You want to be careful of looking for the picture of reality or what your life is. Pictures usually are projections of some sort of fantasy idea that have little to nothing to do with engaging with energy. Pictures are ideas. Sometimes they can be awarenesses, but it depends on how you perceive energy and sort of your basic nature. But you want to be careful of the picture of reality versus the being. Being is engaged with all energy. Being is what actualizes. Pictures are oftentimes places and sources from which we can judge, which is not a creative energy. So if you were creating your life, if you're creating your life, what would that be? Now, this question is for the brave. This question is for those of you who truly are willing to be you in a way that you might not see a lot of other people and experience of a lot of other people being. But now is the time to talk about being. Now is the time to resurrect being as a relevance in our lives, not something that's completely disregarded, undervalued, and wildly misunderstood. If you're going to create your life, I feel like this is good news and bad news, you're going to have to be you. And it's so awesome to be having this conversation right now because I'm literally in Stockholm, Sweden. We're starting Being You Facilitators class, facilitated by Dane here, tomorrow. And I think it's funny that this is the conversation that's starting to come out of my mouth. Very apt. And wouldn't you love to take creating your life out of the difficult, confusing, impossible realms and put it into the totally possible, totally wonderful, and absolutely achievable realm? What would you have to choose today to institute what needs to be in the future when you get there? And everything that doesn't allow that, destroy and uncreate it. Right and wrong, good and bad, all nine, pud, puck, shorts, boys, mans. So what many people don't know is that creation isn't just for today. When you're really creating, you're actually being a generative source that creates today, that generates into the future, and potentially even into the past, meaning the past can change, as the future can as well. And so every choice that you make, and this is something that my dad has taught me, and this is something that Gary has talked about for years, every choice that you make is a potential future possibility. Meaning every choice will generate a future potential possibility, and many choices destroy future potential possibilities. For example, decisions. I'm never going to be happy. I'm never going to make enough money. I'm fat. I'm angry. I want to be limited in a certain way, or I don't want to have to create my life in a certain way. You get the point. When we make these decisions, when we come to conclusion and decision, it limits future potential possibility. Decision is like a toxic application to the generative energies. True question, what else is possible? What's it going to truly take to change this? What do I need to be aware of about this? True question literally generates greater possibility in the future. And newsflash, you're going to get to your future, whether it's tomorrow, next year, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 50 years, next lifetime, the lifetime after that. If you were going to live for 10,000 years, what would you have to choose and create today? Is your vantage point that big? Or do you tend to narrow down your vantage point of life, reality choice, to what you need, what's the necessity in your life today, tomorrow, maybe 4 days from now, maybe till you get your rent paid at the beginning of next month? Is that a big enough life for you? And is that big enough awareness? And what if your being is so big that the question of, if I was going to live for 10,000 years, what would I have to create today? What if that matched the scope of what you truly be? And so you can see this conversation is a bigger conversation on life creation. And how much do you distract yourself by worrying about the necessities of today, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, maybe next month? I mean, if you're even creating next month, you're even ahead of the pack. It's like, do you look at your life down the road and actually question what you'd like to be there when you get there? So let's have some fun. It's like, what would you like your life to be in 5 years? So if it's 5 years from today, we're talking 2024? I'm so dyslexic and so bad at math. I put myself on the spot. That was bad. I think it's 2024. Correct me if I'm wrong. And if you know the better answer, go with that. Good news is, for all the dyslexic people out in the world, you don't have to actually know how to read and do math to create a phenomenal life. And how does it get better? So 2024, now, if you look at your life now, for some of you guys listening to this, you might not have a body in 2024. That's a very valid possibility. And for a lot of you guys listening to this, you will have a body in 2024. Regardless of if you're embodied or disembodied, you still have choice. And the thing is, how many of you guys think that the day that your body dies, that somehow you're going to be absolved of having to choose or having to be conscious or having to like deal with awareness? That's not how it works. You will never escape awareness. In fact, awareness is this privilege. Creation is a possibility that you literally can't actually get rid of, no matter how unconscious you go, no matter how much you resist. It's never going to leave you. So the good news is, the day that you're ready to choose, the moment that you will receive all of this possibility, it will be there. Now, that being said, depending on the level of conclusion you functioned from, depending on the level of judgment that you functioned from, and judgment is such a massive, weird conversation when it comes to creation, depending on the level of conclusion you functioned from, depending on the amount of judgment you functioned from, you might have to restore a lot of possibility, meaning it's like you might have been working against the energy of possibility, a future, for a long time. Every conclusion and every judgment depletes or erodes the ease through which the universe can deliver the possibilities. It doesn't mean that the possibilities don't exist. It just means that you've become less receiving. You are no longer an easy vessel to deliver that to. So you might have to restore your willingness, your receiving, to have greater possibility. That comes through question, true question, not conclusion question, meaning question with a conclusion with a question mark at the end. I mean, true question. How does it get better than this? What else is possible? And question, choice, possibility, and contribution. And contribution is the gifting and receiving energy that's sort of like how every cell, every molecule in the universe lives through gifting it, simultaneous gifting and receiving. I tend to think that this, when you talk about choice, question, choice, possibility, and contribution, it sounds like these weird, like, fantasy things that people aren't real, that are like make-believe. However, when you talk about gifting, the gifting and receiving energies, if you know anything about biology and you know anything about cells, or if you know anything about the biology of plants and the cells of plants, there is a simultaneous gifting and receiving of energy. And if the cell stops receiving and the cell stops transmitting, basically it stops gifting, it dies. So if you look at it through that conversation, gifting and receiving is part of the natural world. In fact, it's how all organisms live. And depending on your level of gifting and receiving determines your level of thriving. And so this is not this airy-fairy woo-woo concept. This is the truth of energy that we get so far away from by concluding and judging. Plants don't conclude. Plants don't judge. Animals don't judge. In fact, if a plant or animal concluded and judged, what would happen to it? It would die. What's going on with your life? Are you thriving or are you dying? And this is not to pour salt in a wound or to make you sad and depressed. This is to press the brutal honesty button that wakes you up. How many of you guys have been dying to get out of your life, dying to get out of this reality, dying to get out of your family, dying to get out of your body, dying to be done with this? And is it actually working for you? You have to be honest with yourself, and then more choice is possible. And if you truly desire to create your life, you're going to have to stop dying. I think that's an obvious statement, but maybe one that could be easily looked over. And so if you were truly going to live, if you were going to be living, what would you be? What would you have to choose? What would you have to receive? And what possibilities would be available to you? And if you're interested in that, then you have to choose it. Now, let me take a few steps back. A few moments ago, I talked about judgment, and I was having a conversation with my dad yesterday. He's such a brilliant man, and I'm going to do my best to articulate this information in a way that it might not make sense today, but if you listen to this again in the future and maybe multiple times, it might click. Or this might help you get to a whole new level of choice that you've never had before. So I was talking to my dad yesterday about lying. He had a conversation with my husband like a month and a half ago about, and I wasn't there, they just had a conversation between them, but my husband told me about it. And he basically, my husband called my dad for facilitation on something, but my dad ended up asking him, he said, "Are you a liar?" And then they ensued to have like another, this big conversation. And it was really, it was actually the thing that I've seen transform my husband the most of anything I've ever seen. There's more of him available now than has ever been available before. And it's basically this thing of like, lying is obviously big. So we have to kind of determine like, okay, so what does that actually mean? Like when you're lying, when you judge yourself and when, basically when you judge yourself, you're lying to yourself. Judgment is completely invented. It isn't, doesn't naturally exist. And so when you judge yourself and when you say you can't, that's a lie. That's, I'm putting it in a very simple form. And of course, it can be much more complex and much more dynamic, but that's basically like starting there. So basically I asked, but and what I started noticing was all around me, people basically living a lie, like not really truly knowing what was true for them and pretending like they were making choices that they actually didn't really want. So they weren't really being honest with themselves. They were sort of lying to themselves about what worked for them, lying to themselves about what was true for them. And one of the really big gifts that I feel that my dad gave me and a liberty that I definitely took was the willingness to know what was real and true for me, not from a conclusion, not from the conclusion of this is real and true, therefore I'm concluded on this, but from the awareness of, yeah, like not having money, you know, being poor doesn't actually work for me. That's what's true for me. That's not a conclusion, that's an awareness. And so it was just this phenomenon of watching all these people like not even having a clue what they wanted to create and what they wanted to choose. And so I asked him about that. And I thought they were lying to themselves. So I asked him, I said, like, can I ask you about this lying thing? But what he ended up talking to me about was that people are so fixated on the right and wrong that they literally can't make a choice unless it matches what's right or wrong. And so when you're functioning from judgment as your primary operative filter of life and reality, right or wrong, and that's taking judgment down to its most basic function, right and wrong, good and bad. When you are using right and wrong, good and bad as your reference point for what you will choose, that's not creation. And can you imagine a life without right and wrong and good and bad? And so this insidious persistence of right and wrong and good and bad that's so prevalent in all of our lives, our psyches, our families, our consciousness or unconsciousness, if that is where you're referencing, you're not creating. And so this is why so many people don't have lives that they really love and aren't really creating much of anything. They're just maintaining the status quo or the fit in or the level of, you know, life force, that the bare minimum of life force that they can have without their heart stopping beating. It's like that's where most people are functioning from. And so if you take good and bad and right and wrong out of the equation, and what choices do you have available to you? And as long as you're using judgment as a reference point, a source, a reality, a truth at all, you're not creating your life. You're actually destroying your life, your body, and the consciousness that's available through embodiment. Now, that's putting it very directly and very simply. And so if you're going to create your future, what judgment are you going to have to stop functioning from? And will you? And this is the massive undertaking. It's like you can't even create until you're out of judgment. Well, you can, but it'll be very in bursts and spits and very minimal and potentially not very without a lot of longevity. If you can choose without judgment, that is a generative source that literally contributes to your future, the future for all. And this is a completely different way of functioning. And this has a lot more to do with being. As soon as you're judging, being is gone. So look at your life. Are you seeking awareness, joy, possibility? Or are you seeking the right life? Or not to be wrong? And as long as you're seeking the right life, or not to have the wrong life, you're never truly living your life. So, what's possible from here? If you were going to be you, what would you have to choose? And if you were being you, what would be available to you that others might not have available to them? So I invite you to a whole new world of possibility. I know this was a massive conversation that I invite you to re-listen to and re-listen to. Let it unwind, let it unfold. And please go forward with the courage of questioning yourself. Be honest with yourself when you're in judgment. Take the liberty to go beyond the judgment to a world where there is no judgment. Because believe it or not, there is a world with no judgment. It's just most people don't have access to it. The animals live there. The trees live there. Consciousness lives in that world without judgment. And oh, wow, my friends, is that world so amazing. How does it get better than this? What's it going to take for all of life to come to you with ease and joy and glory? Be weird, be different, be brave.
Thank you for listening to this show. My target is to make consciousness easy to find and choose. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes and share this with somebody who you know who might be looking for more consciousness in their life. You can visit me on shannon-o'hara.com or talktotheentities.com. And to learn more about the amazing tools of Access Consciousness, you can visit accessconsciousness.com and be sure to subscribe to the podcast.